Once again, good morning, Kalimera, on a Tuesday, the 24th day of January. And I'm your host, Teddy Dimitriadis on Grecian Echoes, and we have joining us, as we do each and every Tuesday, Manny Frangidakis of 12 Points Wealth Management, along with Stamati Sastra. Gentlemen, Kalimera, and it looks as if the sun is trying to come out, at least outside of our Needham studios this morning.
Kalimera.
Kalimera.
Kalimera, Kalimera. Manny, it looks like there was a technical glitch this morning, but not a big deal, right?
Yeah, it's actually funny. We had one of our, a really good friend of ours who's a portfolio manager for a big firm reach out this morning and said, are you guys seeing this? And then we had to do some research, and it was a technical glitch, not a flash sale, which looked like could be occurring. As you saw, even industrials down 10% at some point this morning before the trading halt occurred. But thank goodness it was just a technical feature and not something systemic problematic that could cause a flash sale.
That's what the algorithms are doing, right? It's all a lot of it is based on the automated trading now.
Yep, they buy and sell before we do.
On the big picture, it looks like this year is going to be up and down until the pendulum keep going until we decide what is going to happen, right?
Right. Some days the world is fixed, some days it's not, and that's why we said it last year, and the theme remains true in 2023, that volatility will continue to be persistent and that investors can expect 1% to 2% daily moves in the indices that we've gotten used to over the last year. So that will certainly not dissipate, just from the standpoint that retail investors obviously have a significant amount of anxiety regarding not only economic growth, but, you know, wages, payrolls, inflation, land war in Europe. So we continue to have a number of headwinds, which is causing massive confusion amongst investors. So you will continue to see volatility this year.
There was a lot of headline news about Google's layoffs, and not just the number, but also the way they
said it was delivered.
Yeah.
Yeah. Unfortunately, that is a theme that is playing out in big tech right now. And Google was caught in the headlines for not going about their layoffs in an appropriate manner. They kind of sent an email to employees giving them some good news, and at the end of the email, pulling the rug from underneath them and saying, oh, by the way, we're still laying off people. So it was somewhat convoluted, confusing, and probably straight up rude with laying off 12,000 people via an email.
The news is that 3M, obviously it's a household name, not a tech company, but they are cutting 2,500 jobs.
Yeah, not surprising with 3M. They have a much more international, multinational business line. So they will actually, feel the pinch harder and did feel the pinch harder in 2022 as the U.S. was able to somewhat recover. But as we've seen, globally, the recovery has been much slower.
Yeah. The other news that happened was, it's very much hyped up, is this investment that the Microsoft is doing with the artificial intelligence company OpenAI. Mm-hmm. It's considered to be a direct competitor to Google, and it's a $1 billion. I think it's over $5 billion investment, fully integrated to Microsoft products, long vision. People are talking about a new way of industrial technology and revolution here. Is this hype, or there is something here?
I think it's something. I think, what we've seen so far from ChatGPT and other AI products out there, and in the world of big tech, I wouldn't want to be the last company that didn't have an outlet or a resource for it. So, whether you're going to see a race take place between your Metas, your Googles, your Alphabets, anyone out there that is in the tech space that has consumer-driven products across multinational lines of business, they are going to need to utilize artificial intelligence. So, in my opinion, it is a good strategy. It is worth the investment because it's certainly the direction the industry is heading in.
And obviously there was a lot of, you know, a lot of questions about, you know, the problems. Is this going to replace people? Is this, what are the ethics? Already schools are, I think New York State banned the use of this technology for schools, and all these repercussions.
Yeah, I don't know if it's going to eliminate the human element. That is too early to tell. Actually, they did an analysis on my industry in particular and spoke about, could wealth managers and advisors and people that provide financial advice be made obsolete by this technology? And what they found was the exact opposite, that it would be a useful tool in terms of data gathering and processing information. But at the end of the day, an opinion will still need to be made. And I'm not sure that humans will necessarily agree to the opinion of a computer that they cannot go back later on and hold accountable.
Wow. So I think that, I like from that. I like that response.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think also from an industry perspective, I don't see, you know, there's always been this pessimistic fear as it relates to technology and, you know, making jobs obsolete. The Industrial Revolution was just surrounded by it. There was many components in history that had a fear of technology making human jobs obsolete. And what we've been able to learn from technology is, yes, some jobs will become obsolete, but what we've also learned is new jobs, new career paths are created via technology. So I wouldn't have a pessimistic approach to using artificial intelligence. My approach is that it's a tool that can better the human race.
With all these layoffs, I wanted to make this comment. You know, my daughter is, you know, she's in the business of finding jobs. She's a recruiter. And that industry remains very, very busy and active and vibrant, particularly here in New England. These layoffs, and I'm hearing that a lot of these jobs that are, you know, are being lost, unfortunately, are going to be, you know, there's plenty to replace them right now, at least for those that have, you know, qualifications that many that have been laid off have. So, you know, we're not seeing the numbers, the unemployment numbers skyrocket downwards, doesn't seem to be.
No, we're not. And that's the biggest proponent. And then one of the things that the Fed is looking for as it relates to inflation is that, you know, there is an argument out there that if you wanted to get inflation back to 2% or lower, that you need to see 2.5 million jobs leave the economy.
Yeah.
So that's something that isn't playing out, which is, you know, unfortunately, you know, we don't want to see people lose their jobs, but it's helping keep inflation elevated as what is occurring. We spoke about this. Companies are retaining employees after a 2-year period where it became near impossible to attract them.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't want to go through that period again where demand comes back and they don't have anyone to service that demand or create the product.
Yeah.
So we're holding on to payrolls much longer than in any other recessionary type of environment. And the other component is the ones that are laying off jobs, and we've talked about this too, is take Google, for example. Google's bottom line stayed the same the last 2-3 years. Yes, they had nominal growth, but from a bottom line perspective, it really didn't move the needle all that much, although their payroll, you know, 2X.
Mm-hmm.
So they increased the number of bodies that they, you know, had hired, but their bottom line stayed the same. So it was, for them, it was a very easy way to retract and protect their margins by laying off people that they probably hired in the last 2 years that they don't see as necessary right now as it relates to their bottom line.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What else? What's really hot? Give us some really good news in the market. Something really exciting.
What's really exciting? Look at the rally you've experienced.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're pretty close right here. There's a key technical point in the S&P 500 that, you know, if you blow through 4,100, you potentially could be off to the races.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things we've talked about is everyone has expected the sky to fall. And we took the opposite argument, saying that, you know, the market usually delivers what is painful to most investors. Every investor right now is one-sided. Everyone is bearish. So what would be the absolute surprise that caused the most pain? A rip-your-face-off rally that no one saw coming and that they weren't aligned with.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that from a market standpoint, you have to be happy with how we're holding up here.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be happy that inflation in December printed 6.5% and is continuing to drop. You have to be happy with China reopening in some capacity and global growth coming back to the market. There's a lot of things to be pessimistic about, but as it relates to the pain that we've taken on, I think most of it is behind us. You could potentially see the S&P 500 fall to 3,500 or 32, but Again, I don't know if you absolutely stay there. And most likely that is driven by an earnings correction, which we're in the process of receiving earnings results from all companies. If you do get that, then it's going to turn to what is the future expectation of 24, 25. Then you start talking about rate cuts, and I think the market's off to the races again. So I do think that, you know, one of the things to be, you know, happy about is how we're currently positioned right now in the market.
Mm-hmm. I like it. Glass half full, always, always. Stamati, any closing comments this morning?
No, it's just as Manny said, you know, you got to take a very close look at where you are personally and what your goals are, and you got to talk to people like Manny because they, as he said, they know best in order to guide you through that. And time horizon is important. Tax planning is very important. Retirement, educational, different options. The whole retirement laws changed. There is new incentives for retirement savings. You should know about these things. You should have a plan on if you are 40 or 50 to make sure that something is going to retirement or college or whatever that is. Those fundamentals are not going to change. Chasing a lottery ticket here and there, that can be fun, but where you are going to get wealthy is sticking with an advisor to help you long term.
Mm-hmm. Frankly, I couldn't say it better myself.
That's the purpose. That's it.
I mean, people focus on the return perspective of their portfolio, and yeah, does it really matter if you did 20% or 25% in 21 or 20 and gave it all back in the last 2 years and now are looking at a pretty negative pit? I wouldn't say so. I think you need to, it's really more about making the big decisions correctly, that the purchase of a home, the setting up of the appropriate accounts, trusts, et cetera, you know, removing liability and protecting before building. Those things are what really separate people in terms of true financial independence, not did I buy Google or Meta in 2017 and do I hold it for the next 40 years?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Manny Frangidakis, right there, 12 Points Wealth Management. Things are going well on the business side, Manny. I know you guys are always active, and you know, our listening audience can reach out to Manny any single time, any day, and he'll be more than happy to give you a couple of minutes. So, gentlemen, Manny, we'll close out. Give us who's going to be in the Super Bowl. Who's going to win the NFC and the AFC this weekend?
I'm with Cincinnati on the AFC.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that, you know, Mahomes' ankle injury could
yep.
be a factor.
Yep.
And the way the Bengals played against Buffalo was tremendous. They had all the swagger and confidence of a team that I've seen in any decade. And they're, it looks like their finished product is coming along nicely in the perfect time frame. The NFC is a little bit more tough to depict between San Francisco and Philadelphia. Everyone is down on San Francisco's offense from last weekend, but you got to give it to Dallas's defense and how well they played. No one really pays attention to the fact that Dak Prescott throws two interceptions, and both of those times they're held to 3 points.
Yep.
That's a huge outcome for the Dallas defense. So I'm not going to focus on the weakness of the San Francisco offense and give credit to the really good defensive script that Dallas played. And, of course, Philly is a monster of a team. And I think it's going to come down to who can stay healthy and who can make big plays and eliminate, you know, mistakes. Don't turn the ball over. Limit the amount of penalties and retain possession of the ball. So I think the NFC is a wild card. It's going to be a very tight game. I think on the AFC side, the Bengals pull through and make it to the Super Bowl after losing last year to the Los Angeles Rams.
I'm going to give the NFC to Philly. I'm choosing Philly on my card. I'll tell you that, yeah. Anyway, gentlemen, have a great, great weekend. We'll talk about the Super Bowl as well as the market next Tuesday at 11 a.m. right here on WNTN Radios. Guys, have a terrific, terrific afternoon. Be well. All right.
Thank you, guys. Have a great day.
Mike Jannetty's in the house at 12 o'clock. We got a little disco going on WNTN. In the meantime, let's just keep going with our Grecian Echoes playlist this morning. Hope you enjoy the song selections we're choosing with you.